It's I guess it's fitting that around this time of year we talk about miracles and stuff, and this miracle isn't, I guess, what most people would consider maybe a miracle, like where Jesus, you know, raised from the dead, where the life in a body could be gone and God put it back, the virgin birth, those things that were prophesied and all. But this is a miracle that God has done for us to see the power of those who truly trust in Him. Okay? And there's a lot of pressure at the holidays to make everything perfect, to make everything right, to go to the right parties. You know, you have gatherings and get-togethers. You have them at work. You have them with your friends. You have them with your family. And you know, of course, everybody wants to do something different each year, where they add on or they, you know, they do secret Santas. They bring gifts. And, you know, so all this stuff, it becomes ever increasing more and more. It's just sometimes it feels like a burden. And as an adult, I found the greatest joy in holidays is simply spending time with those you don't get to see, right? Catching up with what they've done and just being there. And I look back at my life when I was a child, and gosh, just so stupid. I mean, I just missed all of that. I could have been sitting and talking with my grandfather, my grandmother, my great-grandparents. I knew them. I could have sat there and learned and talked about their life and listen to their struggles and who they were, and all I cared about was what was in the box, right? God has given us a miracle here that I want us to look at that shows, the power of those who love Him. Most of this is centered around Acts. It found in Acts. I try to list the scriptures where they come from, so you can read the entire story, because I had to, for time's sake, not put so much in here. But anyway, we'll see. I usually go over. Acts 4:3-4. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. How would you feel if knowing if you were someplace and you preached the truth that someone was going to come in and arrest you? How would that make you feel? I mean, this actually happened. And just so we're clear, this actually happens in other places around the world. I don't know how long it'll be before it happens here, but you've got to realize that when you say the wrong thing against the wrong people and against the directive of the society at large in the United States, then your Twitter account is shut down. You're removed from Facebook. You're not allowed to speak certain things. So how long do you think it's going to be before you tell someone the truth and they say that that is hate speech? We're already leaning in that direction. So what will you do? How do you think God is going to react when severe persecution comes upon the church? When the day comes that you or your children, because of what they believe in that's found in Scripture, because of what they stand up for, that they are threatened with being arrested or worse. What's your reaction going to be? Well, we can look back and see for the people that were responsible for the church. If it hadn't been for the drive of these apostles, if it hadn't been for the dedication of these apostles, because of the way they handled it, we wouldn't be here today. Would we? No, we wouldn't. And so if you don't do and follow their example, then what do you think is going to happen to the church when your kids want to worship? What do you think it's going to take when your kids go away to adulthood, move away, or go away to college, and they've got to be the ones that's got to find a place of worship that teaches the truth? They got to get themselves out of bed. They have to be the ones. Don't you want them to find a place? Then you have to fight for it now. You have to show them that what the apostles showed them. So we need to take a look at this miracle that God shows us what happens from the mindset of the flesh and the mindset of the spirit, how he works this out. Doesn't make sense, excuse me, doesn't make sense when you say or see leaders in the church getting arrested and you see the church growing. That's really the miracle right there. Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit, but why would it make sense that when somebody sees that we are being arrested, we're being persecuted, we're losing things, our names are slandered, who doesn't have skeletons in their closet? If people knew what you were like before at any point in your life and they look back at the things that you do, do you think there's something that they could pull out of your closet that they could use against you? Oh, yeah. I know they could. And so when all of this is at risk, what are you going to do when they're going to come in here and they're going to tear down your character, they're going to take you away to jail, they're going to threaten your children, they're going to threaten your liberties? What are you going to do? This actually happened to the apostles, and it happens today in this world. And it doesn't make sense that when God shows us when this happens, the church grew. Who wants to be a part of that? But God showed us that the church grew. Acts 4, 9 through 10. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. That's important because when these apostles were being persecuted by them, they stood in their face and they said, this was done by someone that you killed. And they hated this man. They hated what he taught. And they hated the ones that preached in his name. And when they said that, that's going to anger them. You know what that was? How do you like it when someone gets in your face and say, you know what? I told you so. I told you it was going to work out this way. I told you so. Nobody likes that. And that's what these apostles were doing. They were standing in the face of the world and said, you killed him. What did you expect for us to do? He raised from the dead. What did you expect us to do? You should have listened to him, but you don't. This angers people in a way that it's not a normal anger. Do you understand this? When you start bringing the truth down upon people, the truth of God, the devil becomes very angry. And he works through that flesh, and you start firing back, and you start becoming a person that you didn't even realize you were. And you're like, whoa, who is this person? It creates an anger that the devil uses. It's difficult to process. And so these apostles were saying that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, y'all tried to kill him, but God raised him back up. By him, this man stands here before you whole. And they're telling them that today you've judged that a good deed to a helpless man was a bad thing. Do you know the pain that existed from these people that when Jesus came at the fullness of time and the Romans were down on them and the Jews, they were taking away their liberties. They didn't have the things of life that they had hoped that they would have been. They were struggling in life, and their hope was slowly being taken away because the leaders of the Jews were always preaching of hope that was to come that was outside of their reach. How do you feel? Because we got to realize that this is going on in the world today. This is how they handled it. How do you feel when you feel like that you're always a day late and a dollar short? When you can almost grab it, but you just can't, right? You just can't. You're almost there. You're looking for your house, and your dream house is like 50 grand outside of your reach. That's pretty close when you're looking at a house that's $200,000, right? That's pretty close. Almost get it, but you know you just can't live with that payment for 30 years. It's just not going to happen. How do you feel when hope is with beyond your reach? This is the way these people felt. And he says that we've helped someone like that, and you who are over all of us, you say that's a bad thing. This was an account of a lame man being healed by the apostles. in the name of Jesus. And this angered the leaders of the Jews. We move on down to Acts 4:14. Seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I want you to understand that when you go to do the will of God, when you go to preach the truth, man cannot stand against it. They told people that this man, Jesus, was nothing. His teachings were nothing. And yet, by the man that they killed, by the one that they tried to sour his name, the man that was healed, which they knew that he had been lame from birth, was standing right in front of them whole. And he gave glory to the name of Jesus. And they couldn't do anything about it. See, I'm showing you these things because to say that persecution came upon the church and it grew, that this was a miracle of God, I want you to know that you experience that miracle in your life all the time. I want you to know that when we teach the truth, when we do something like this and put the truth out before them, they're going to hate us for it. They're going to persecute us for it. They're going to try to shut us up. And you're going to anger many people in a way that is just not normal. It's just not a normal anger. They become enraged. They may not show it right off, but they do. They become enraged because the truth of God puts the devil on shaky ground. It reminds him that you don't have control. God does. And so when he gets that way, he knows that he's lost. And just like the Bible says, he was cast down to the earth with great anger. Having, how did he put it? He says he was cast down to the earth like a roaring lion walking around to see whom he would devour. I want us to see that when we stand in our faith, we experience the miracle of God. Because no matter how many people you anger, I want you to understand that there's someone there who is listening. You know how I know that? I was that person one time. I witnessed these things. Just like you. You saw people stand in their faith. And you had evidence with which to see that God was real to some people. He wasn't just a thought. He wasn't just a person, a character in a book. He was real to some people. And you paid attention to this. You would think seeing this miracle done would have made everyone happy, but it didn't. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that when you try to do good, why is it that when you try to sacrifice for yourself, when you try to put yourself out, when you try to go above and beyond, that this doesn't make people happy? Why is that? Because they don't want the people helped. They want them in an oppressed state. They want them under the burden of the flesh. They want them listening to the devil, not the truth that is going to give them hope and to set them free. And so when you do these things, you'll see for the ones that aren't happy about it, and you'll know who they are. Because see, by Scripture, God reveals hearts. You may not think you can read hearts, but when you show Scripture, and by the way that people handle it, you can see their heart, if only for a moment. Acts 4:21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. So these people were taken away and they were threatened. And they were told that you shouldn't preach in this man's name. But they couldn't really do anything else because the people were glorifying God because of what had been done to this man. But the leaders, the one that were supposed to be leading them and teaching them, they became enraged with this and was trying to shut it all down. And if you don't look at the way our system of government is set up and the things that are going on today, where good things are trying to take place, but they want to shut them down, it's the mindset of an oppressed leader. Someone who wants to maintain control and not give liberty. The devil does not want you to be happy or to be free. God does. God does. And so when you try to make that happen, the world caves in on you. It happened in the time of Rome. It's happening today around the world. And it's happening in this country. So don't think that these things, when you're looking and reading about the apostles and seeing what they did and how they reacted, that you're not going to be faced with this decision. I'll tell you something scarier. You may not be faced with this, but your children might be. Your grandchildren might be. These little people that you love and that you hold, and all they do, it just seems, when you hold them, they're just so happy and they laugh. And one day, someone is going to try to kill them because they're fighting for their soul and the person that's listening to them. How sad does that make you? This is what happened to the apostles. They were threatened if they continued to preach in this man's name. Those threats became reality because guess what started happening to the apostles? They didn't just die. They were murdered because they did not stop. And us, are the product of their labor. We're here today because they did not stop. Your children will find a place to worship because you do not stop. And all of this is a miracle of God because everything that happens makes you want to stop. Almost seems like, you know what? It doesn't even make sense that I continue this way. These people glorified God, but the leaders didn't. Why? And we talked about that. You go to Acts 4, 17 through 18. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them, commanded them not to speak at all or nor teach in the name of Jesus. They didn't want this message to spread. The apostles didn't listen. And so when you see this threat, you're like, oh, you know, they went away rejoicing. Well, how much rejoicing was happening when the other apostles, they saw them start losing their head? How much rejoicing do you think was going on then? They knew that they were in this fight to the death. And you know the old analogy, who's going to get out of life alive? Are you going to commit your life to Christ but not commit your death to Him? If you can trust Him with your life, then I'm here to tell you, you can trust Him with your death. And death from this world, really take a look at this world. Look at all that batters you all the time. Look at all the things that won't turn loose from you. Just look at them. This is how we want to live the rest of our life? No. I tell you that in the garden when God, they took that tree of life away, they did us a service. That was a blessing for us that they wouldn't let us live forever in this body. Death is not fun to anyone. It's sad and it's painful. You don't know, you just can't hardly speak. It just cuts you in a place that nothing can fix it. But then you see God. And He heals that wound. They weren't concerned about the miracle or the truth that had been going on in this man's life. They were only concerned about their position among the people. There are people today that get up and they spread a false gospel because they're only concerned about how people receive the gospel. That's all their concern is about. I tell the truth as it's written in Scripture. I mean, we read from Scripture. We are going to be held accountable one day. I don't want to die for my faith. I like going home and watching TV with my wife, right? I like going out and having the money to go get a pizza, right, when I want to. I don't want to know that I make a stand for my faith and I'm going to find myself in jail. or that I'm going to find myself where I don't have a home anymore. Nobody wants to be in that position. But if the price is to give up on God, that's a price I just can't pay. I can't do it, because I've seen too much evidence of the people that when they were faced with those decisions, that they held true. They held true. And they knew that death had no dominion over them. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. You know what this says? They were scared. Does the idea of being persecuted and the idea of people not liking you, the idea of knowing who you really are, they start digging around your closet, they're going to defame your character of who you were, does that kind of scare you? Scares me a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that the apostles felt the same way. They said, please, when this comes upon us, give us the boldness to speak the truth. They were scared. They were scared. And so God looked at the fear that they had of persecution and the fear they had of death, and a miracle happened. The church grew. Because the world wanted to snub out the church. The world threatened the apostles, and when they didn't listen, they started killing them. They did the same thing to Jesus. And so when the devil killed Jesus, he thought that, well, I can kill the apostles the same way. And if I started killing men, this was the Son of God. He raised from the dead. Okay, he realized what had happened. He realized all these things. And he thought, that's fine, but when men, normal men start dying, your neighbors, your friends, your brothers, when normal people started dying, then they would start seeing that this threat was real. It wasn't just to the leaders, it was to everybody. This will stop it. And a miracle happened. The church grew. I can't think of any other name for it. They threaten you, and people flocked to that teaching. That's a miracle. They were scared, and he said, give us boldness that we can speak the truth. You see, the only weapon that could be used against them was fear. Fear of persecution and fear of alienation. I don't know which is worse. Someone browbeating you all the time because of your faith, or someone alienating you, not coming around, not wanting you around. And you find yourself alone. I don't know which is worse. I don't want to be alone. I want someone that I can share things with. I want someone that I can be a part of. I want someone that needs me. I don't want to be alone. John was cast out to the Isle of Patmos, and he was alone. This was a man that ate with Jesus, who listened to Jesus teach, watched the church grow, watched the Gentiles being brought into the faith, watched the gospel spread to the whole world, and so excited about people coming to the Lord. And then he was left alone to kill his spirit. And in that sadness, he wrote a book that showed us true deliverance in every aspect of this world. Creation, our soul, our body, in heaven, under the earth. In every way, Jesus delivered this world and those who believed in Him. And all that came when He was His worst fear. He was left alone. Now, I don't know if that was His worst fear, but that's what they used against Him. Persecution and alienation. If you teach against this man, you will no longer be welcome to my house. You want to come and be around me, if you're going to come in and you're going to start talking about Jesus and about salvation and about this baptism thing and about living the life where I'm being judged and this is wrong and that's wrong, I don't want you in my house. Have anybody ever heard that from a family member? You want to come here preaching Jesus? I don't want you around. I'm just tired of it. Alienation. And the Jews meant it. If you went outside that Jewish religion, you went outside of that wall, that law, you were cut off from the Jewish people. And all of your safety nets, all of your understanding, all of your relatives, all of your joy, couldn't see him anymore. The man told the woman, you won't see the kids anymore because you choose to follow this Jesus and I'm taking them away and there's nothing you can do about it. Or the love of the man's life says that I am following Christ and I am teaching our children that way and we're through. The church faced this early on. The apostles faced this. Not just the apostles, but the early church faced these decisions. And now they're back around again. So we have to look at the example of what they did, and we have to look at how God worked through that example, and He produced a wonderful miracle. And He'll do it again today because He already does it. Because as the tide turns, your faith gets stronger because you refuse to back down. My last slide, Acts 5:41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake. There's two different words there, to suffer and shame. Remember I said fear of persecution and alienation? Which would you rather? Would you rather suffer or would you rather be shamed? Neither one of them are really good propositions, right? You want everybody to know your business or do you just want to feel pain all the time? You walk into a room, everybody says, yep, there he is. I know what he did. Or when you walk in, that people jump up in ravenous anger and they beat you out the door. Won't let you come in. It's hot outside. They won't let you come in for a drink of water. And these people suffered both. Both. And they said they counted it a joy. They went away rejoicing. Now tell me that's not a miracle. They had everything stripped from them, their dignity. They had all of these things happen. They considered it a joy that because they taught in the name of Jesus, because they stood in their faith, that this was happening to them, and they counted it a joy. If a Christian welcomes persecution and humiliation, then what weapon can effectively be used against us? If we're prepared for this kind of fight, how can the devil slow us down? How can the devil stop us if we understand the kind of fight that we're in? It doesn't start off that way, I don't think. Well, I take that back. It doesn't start off that way for us, but places in the world there is. Christians are slaughtered. And the news media is silent about it. Silent. And there's people who dare to call the United States a God-fearing nation. Yeah, I think we've departed from that a long time ago. There are people here that serve God the same way as that there's people around the world that serve God. But as far as us being a Christian nation, that ship has sailed. And that's a sad place to be in. Because we have more freedoms in this country right now than anyone else. You want to know, we tried to liberate Afghanistan because they were being oppressed. You want to know what type of oppression they were under? Look up what Australia is dealing with right now. Look that up. Why aren't we invading Australia and trying to set those people free? Because they're our, quote, allies. Because they are a democracy. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Look it up at what they are going through right now. And if it can happen there, it can happen here. Because no one's telling you about it. And when you stand up and start saying stuff like that, they shut you down. Because the truth angers them. It angers them. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, the biggest person that wants to hide the truth is ourselves. It's not just about us hiding the truth from the world. We understand that the things that happen behind closed doors, the things that happen in our minds, the things we understand about those things. But we don't want to know what type of person we are. And so if we struggle with that, and I'm not saying that we fail at every turn on that, but if we struggle with that, then why would we expect the world to be any different? Let's show them some mercy and understanding. Give them time. It's not a one and done deal because God didn't treat you that way. But we have to set up boundaries, don't we? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. That's our boundary right there. For this reason, because see, he's telling us here that if we continue in this behavior, continue, not just say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to talk about it. You got to let God have His perfect work. You got to let Him work on that heart for a while. He gave you a chance, you give them a chance, right? But understand that by you fighting for them to give them that chance, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be alienation. But you're fighting for another soul. Welcome that persecution because God's at work right there. You are holding back the tides of evil to give them a chance to see. And the longer you're willing to take that persecution, the longer you're willing to take that shame, the more powerful God's Word is with them. Because remember the miracle that I told you that you saw every day? When you fight in this manner, this is what they see. They're faced with the truth relentlessly. And you're faced with shame and pain and persecution relentlessly. But you do that for their sake to give them a chance. And if we don't want to go in that direction, and we just, and I'm, you know, I don't, what kind of time frame do you put like on someone's soul? I don't understand. But I'm saying let God work through you for them. But if you don't want to do that, then you're going to fall into this group. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion. If you're not willing to see the truth about yourself, if you're not willing to fight for someone else to see the truth about themselves, God says, for this reason, because unrighteous deception, because we perished, because we did not receive the love of the truth, we didn't welcome it, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. You ever think God would do that? It says it will here. He says, look, if you won't listen to my truth, then I will withdraw my servant. How do I know that? Well, Jesus was only here for a limited time. The apostles were only here for a limited time. The freedoms that the church brought were only here for a limited time. And then they withdrew. The apostles died out. They had to trust in the Word. Less people trusted in the Word, less people could have trusted in the Word than they could have trusted in the men who wrote it. And then as time went on, less people started trusting in the people who read the Word. Do you see how this is going? People are fading away because they're not interested in fighting any longer for the souls of those that you once were lost. And God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Why would He do that? Because God's weapon is the truth. And if you won't accept the truth, He's not going to come at you any other way. He's not going to pump that lie up in your life because that's what you trust in. He wants you to see where you're at, who you are, and what you trust in, and what it's going to cost you. What it's going to cost to save your soul, we saw that in what He did. And now, what's it going to cost us to save another soul? Well, we have the examples of the apostles and Him of what it's going to cost to save another soul. Verse 12, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We love the praise of men. We love the praise of our family. We love the money that was coming in more than we loved the righteousness of God. And when you look back at the early church, when the Jews, the leaders of the church, the leaders of the Jewish nation rejected the teaching in Christ. And it said because they loved the praises of men, they loved their position, they didn't want that teaching getting around because it unseated them. They cared more about all of the things of the world than they did about God. And if you're in that boat, if you're in that boat, if that's where you're at, then God can't continue to work through you, because the persecution and the shame that comes with teaching the truth, you're not interested in that. You say you're interested in truth, but you can't have the truth without the other. Because everyone who stood against this world suffered these things. Remember, that's the only weapon the devil really has to use against us. And if we as Christians welcome that and understand where it comes from and how it's coming, we're better prepared to fight in that way. This is why the church grows, because the truth of God is spread. It's the only way the church grows. Do you think the church grows with a lie? Do you think we're going to grow this church in God's eyes if we start teaching an easier form of salvation, if we start excusing different types of sin? Well, we may get people in here, because that's an easier doctrine to follow, but the church isn't growing. You can prove that because the Bible says that God gives the increase. One waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. He's going to give an increase from a lie. We've already seen here in Thessalonians that if you believe that lie and you follow that lie and you teach that lie, you're going to be condemned and you're going to be given a strong delusion. And all those people that are coming are part of that delusion. You think, wow, God's certainly at work in this building. He's certainly at work here. And then when you see passages like this, you just pass them over, because you're not willing to accept what it's going to take to stand up in front of your congregation and say, I've been in error. I've taught a lie. You see, if we back up on the truth because we fear persecution of our family and our friends, here's a stark warning for those who do that. Because it's easy to look at these things and see that God's talking about people out there, right? But who's God talking to? He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. And we're reading that letter, so God is talking to us. This is a warning given to Christians, not the world. But the real amazing thing here is that it wasn't the world that these people feared. They feared the God that they served. That was where the real fear was. It wasn't in the fear that they were going to take their life, because they already saw, as the apostles stood their ground, that they were losing their life. It wasn't because the church was afraid of losing liberties that they had, because the Rome gave them liberties. Because the Jewish council, the leaders of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, kept the people at bay. So they were allowed to have certain liberties because the Jewish people kept peace with the Jews. It wasn't the liberties that they were afraid of, because the Christians were being snatched out of their homes and they were being fed to the animals. The Romans would come and sit in an arena, and they would tie the Christians to a post, and they would tie raw meat around their midsection, and they would let the lions go. Can you imagine the fear that Christians saw when this happened? To see that if you stood up in Jesus, this is what happened to you. People say that we serve a loving God, and we do. But these people who knew God, who taught God, and stood in the truth, all of the ways that men could kill them meant nothing to them. What they truly feared was standing before a God that was displeased with them. Because this God died for them and gave them an example of what it cost to save a soul. And if we're going to save a soul, it's going to cost us the same thing. Now, how much persecution and how much things come upon us? I'm here to tell you, we have examples of it's coming. We can look in the world today and see that it's coming. You have to be ready now to make your decision and say, this is what I'm willing to do. That's why God says, the fear of the Lord, Scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you fear God more than anything else, then look at how He can make you grow. Because these men that died in this manner, they weren't scared by the world. They were scared by the God that died for them and said, I am the example. I am the doorway. Follow me as I follow Christ. We say it all the time that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he stood before the Jewish people and he really raked them across the coals. He told them, he said, you've killed the man that come to save you. He said, y'all have been so ignorant, so self-centered that you were looking for a man of David's stature and you missed the humble God that walked among you and died for you. You saw Him and you hated Him and you killed Him. Later, when people talked that way, they were put in prison. Later, when people talked that way, they lost their heads. And later, when people followed that teaching, they were fed to the lions. So, where are you at today with your salvation and in your fight to save someone else's soul? What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?